Okay, so we began yesterday the seventh parak, Baruch Hashem, B'shua Tov U'Mutzlachas, parak Arba Mises. We saw in the Mishnah two different opinions about what the Seder of the severity of the Arba Mises. Rashi explained, why does it make a difference to us? It does make a difference because on occasion, we do indeed need to know which Mises is considered more Chamor with regard to somebody who's actually Chayav Misa twice. Somebody who's committed two averas, both of which are mechayev him misa, so we can only give him one. We give him the more chamur of the two. Therefore, it's very important for us to know indeed which is the more chamur of the two. We're in a machlokes between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon, and here we welcome our dear friend Reb Nachum Geller. So the Gemara said that as a rule. Although there is an exception to the rule. As a rule, whenever the Mishnah gives us a list of various halachas and introduces it with a number, like, for example, in our Mishnah, where it says Arba Mise, so it's introduced with a number, and then gives us a whole list. So as a general rule, the list afterwards is not particular, for whatever reason, in the Seder. So even if one is mentioned before another, it doesn't necessarily mean that it actually does come prior to whatever is mentioned afterwards. So we're going to see some examples with regard to Big Day Kahuna, for example. So if Chazal tell us there are eight Big Day Kahuna of the Kohen Gadol, eight. So it introduces with a number. But then when the Mishnah lists what indeed are these clothings, it does not necessarily list them in the order that he wore them. So you see that for whatever reason, when the Tanna introduces a list with a number as a headline, the list that follows does not necessarily follow in order of significance. That is the general rule, although there are exceptions. So let's begin from the Gemara again. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Schoira, Omar Rav Huna. Kol Mokoim. Sheshanu chachomim derech minyan. Whenever Chazal taught us a list with regard to a certain number, ein muktam umucher. There is no muktam, there is no one that comes first, there is no one that comes later. Chutz misheva samonim. Chutz misheva samonim. Now, what is sheva samonim? So before we see the Hemshech of the Gemara, have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Chutz miseder shiva samamonim, ho'amurim, which are said, le'inyan ha'kesem shel dam. The halacha is that if a woman finds a kesem, a stain of dam under some circumstances, as we know, she becomes Tameo. But this obviously depends, first and foremost, if indeed it is dam. And there are various experimental activities that we could do to ascertain whether it is or isn't dam. And there is a list, seven in total, of various chemicals or liquids that you can place on this dam or alleged dam. And depending on results, we can then decide whether it is or isn't dam. So there are seven in total. And there also, as we're about to see in a moment, the Mishnah introduces the list with a number. And it says, there are seven. Over here, the list is written exactly in order. That's what Rashi says. Look at Rashi now. Shebohen, with regard to this list, Diktuku beseder mishnason. Over here, Chazal were medaktik. They were indeed particular to enumerate the list in the correct order. The order is absolutely significant. Now, Rashi just goes off as a tangent for a second. Why is it called samamonim? That's the lashon of the Mishnah. Says Rashi, kol dovor hamoyil lechaveroi, anything, one item that assists another, correlate, we call in speech marks, quote unquote, sum legabe. It's called a sum. Sum literally means like a potion. And that's what was bothering Rashi. Why are these seven considered potions? They're not potions. They're just very useful experiments. That's what Rashi says. That even though sum essentially means a potion, but it's used in a generic sense for anything that helps one another. Ve'ein sum loshen boisim. Sum doesn't need to be a loshen of besomim. Veloy loshen marpe. Neither does it need to be a potion of refuah. Ela loshen. It is a general loshen. Dovar hatzorich letikun chaveri. One thing that needs the help of the other. And this is our classic case. Because here we have a stain on the beged, and it needs the assistance of some other chemical or some other food in order to be able to ascertain whether or not it is or isn't done. So have a look back into the Gemara now. Again, the general rule, although there are exceptions, the general rule is that whenever Chazal give us a list and introduce it with the number, the list then does not necessarily follow the correct order. What is the exception? So here's exception number one. Says the Gemara Tanan, because we have a Mishnah, Shiva, Samonim, Ma'avirin, Al Hakesem. There are seven Samonim, as we just said before, it doesn't mean a potion, but it means seven items that can help clarify whether this is done, which you have to be Ma'avir, you have to pass over Al Hakesem on the stain. Before we see what they are, back immediately into Rashi, Ma'avirin al Hakesem. Why must we be Ma'avirit on the Kesem? Leboidkoi, in order to check out, im dam nida hu. Is this indeed dam nidus? Ulatahame taharois shenoga bohen. If this particular person, this woman, has touched something tohir. Now we need to know, one moment, maybe it turns out that she was actually Tameo at the time because there was a kesem and we didn't know whether it was dam nidus. So we can have an experiment which can help us work out whether indeed it's dam nidus. And in the event that it turns out that yes, she is Tameo nidah, then anything tohir that she touched will become tameh. So letame taro is shenoga bohen. Or perhaps on the other hand, it will turn out that it's not dam nidus, and really it is just tseva, just paint, some type of coloring. And if that's the case, v'hataharois tohiros, and all those tohir items that she touched remains tohir. V'im Ovar be'elu sheva samamonim. If you pass over all seven of these mentioned on the list, k'she yechabes oisoi bohen k'sidron, if you would wash the beged, having passed over these seven items, here comes a critical word, kesidron, in the correct order. So this is an exception to the rule. Here as well, Chazal gave us a list, and the order is critical. So ve'im ovar, what does ve'im ovar means? If the stain disappeared, ovar, it went, passed, gone. Having washed it with these seven things, biyodua, then you could be absolutely assured, shedam hoyo, that it was definitely dam. Ve'im loy ovar, but if the stain did not get removed, then biyodua shetseva hoya, that it was actually tseva. I can let you into a little trade secret. We sometimes use this halacha ulamaisa, as taught to me by my Rebbe, Rabbi C. Davidovich, upstairs neighbor of Rabbi Eliyahu David Heyman. So I was with him for 6 years training how to paskin shailas of dam nidus, and on occasion, There is a stain which is unclear based on its appearance whether it's indeed dam or it's some foreign object, a stain, whatever it may be. And it's very, very hard to ascertain just by looking at it, or even with this item that we always carry around, our magnifying glass. So, what do we do? So, there are various experiments, including putting saliva on it, as we're about to see now in the Gemara. And if you rub saliva over it and it disintegrates and it disappears, then that's a siman that it really was dam. But if it's unmoved, then it's not dam. It's just a thread or some other stain, etc., etc. I'll call upon him. So the reason why the Gemara is mentioning this, as mentioned, is because this is an example of where the Seder is critical. Even though we said before, as a general rule, the Seder is not critical. And when the Mishnah mentions a list, the Seder is lav dafka, but here the Seder is dafka. So again, what is the experiment? We're about to see details in a second. You've got to rub over the stain with seven liquids. If you do that and the stain disappears, that's what Rashi means, it's ovar, it goes, then clearly it was dam nidus. If the stain does not go, then it was tseva or some foreign object, and it was not dam nidus, she is not tmeo, and everything she touched remains tohir. So look into the Gemara again now. Again, the Tanan. Sheva samonim, there are seven chemicals or foods, ma'avirin al ha-kesem, that you have to pass over the kesem. And we're going to see what happens to this kesem, to this stain afterwards. What are the seven? Number one, roik tofel. What is roik? Roik is saliva. What does roik tofel mean? So look at Rashi. Roik tofel means sheloi to'am chlum kolosi hayun, that he's not tasted anything that day. So apparently, scientifically, this experiment only works with saliva fresh in the morning. As yet, he hasn't eaten anything that day. But if he's eaten something that day, so obviously some of the food contents will enter the saliva. That changes the property of the saliva, and now the experiment won't work. Says Rashi, tofel, that word tofel means reikom v'noguv. It's empty, means it's got no food particles in it. V'choser kol tam meichel, and is lacking any taste of any type of food because he hasn't eaten food yet that day. Kagoin, similarly, we find this word elsewhere. Dovor shaloi nimlach. If you have something which is not salted, so it's raw, that also the mikri tofel, Chazal called tofel. So you see that the word tofel means something which is raw. So raw saliva means the saliva that's in his mouth at the beginning of the day, or for that matter, later on in the day, if he hasn't at that stage eaten anything. That is the first of the seven. Next, back into the Gemara now. We have to have a finger on the Gemara, a finger in Rashi. Says the Gemara, the next one is Umei Grisim. What's Umei Grisim? So have a look once again at Rashi. Umei Leisas Grisin Shel Pul. Pul is a certain type of bean. Sheloyasin. If you chew it, and you grind it, and you then rub whatever is residue of that bean over the stain. So that's the second liquid. Back into the Gemara, Umei Raglayim, says Rashi, that has gone sour and has an unpleasant smell about it. Apparently, that also has chemical properties which are critical to our experiment. That's the first three. Next, back into the Gemara. Now we're up to number four, Venator, Uboiris, Kamulia, Vaashleich. That's seven altogether. What are these last four? says Rashi, Nator, it's a min adamo, it's a type of earth, Koirin lo nitro. Uboiris is an asev, is a certain type of herb or grass. Uumavir ksamin, it's also very useful in removing stains, Koirin lo irbani. Kumulia, Hossam Mefarish, over there we explain, the Gemara explains elsewhere. Shluf Dutz, Veloyo Dan Amai, he says, Rashi, I must be perfectly honest, I don't know what that is. So even though the Gemara elsewhere defines this Kamulia as being Shluf Dutz, but I don't know what that is, it's some chemical. Finally, Ashleich Nimtza, that can be found, Benikve Margolios, in the holes of diamonds or pearls, ha'oilois mitoich hayam, that rise up from the sea. Okay, so there's seven different materials, which the Gemara, the Mishnah calls samonim, which they must be rubbed over the kesem, and depending on results, we will then be able to discern whether it's a dam nidus or not. But carry on the Gemara. The Katani Sefer, and it says in the Sefer of that very Mishnah, He'eviron sheloi kesidron. What happens if you rub these seven liquids over the kesem, but not in the order mentioned in the Mishnah? Oi, she'eviron shivaton. Or if you mention you rubbed all seven ke'echod as one together, but not one after the other. Loi asav loi klum. Then it will not help at all. So what do you see now? You see that this Mishnah is therefore an exception to the rule. Again, what was the rule? The rule was that whenever the Mishnah introduces a list with a number, the order of the list is not significant. But here's an exception. It was introduced by a number. It says Sheva Samonim. And the list, the order of the list, is significant. How do we know it is significant? As we just mentioned, because the Sefer of the Mishnah said that if you rub the liquids in the wrong order or all at the same time, that's not considered a good experiment. So you see that when the Mishnah said seven, it means seven, the following seven, in the following order, and it must be in that order. Look at Rashi. Loi asav loi klum. What does it mean that he hasn't done anything? It hasn't helped at all. It's not a successful experiment, says Rashi. Ein ze nisayon. That is not a good nisayon. That's not a good test. If you're trying to test whether this item in front of us is dam nidus or dam tseva, if you change the order of the experiment, ein ze nisayon, then it's not an experiment. She'im loy ovar bekach, meaning even if it did not disappear, so l'chayra, that would seem to be a proof that it's not damnidus. No. Akati ikel ameima, we can still say damhu. Maybe it is dam. How can it possibly be dam? Didn't we say that if you rub the seven liquids, if it doesn't disappear, and it remains behind, it can't be dumb. Yes, but that's only if you do it in the right order. The high deloy avar. But in our case, when you didn't do it in the right order, the fact that the stain remained behind, hainu mishum, it's because the order is critical. De ein grisin mo'ilin, elo la'achar haroik. Because number two on the list is only effective after number one on the list. Number one on the list was roik, number two was greasing. So if you do roik and then greasing, apparently scientifically, that will be effective. But if you do greasing before roik, it will not be significant. So therefore, if I rub all seven liquids over the kesem and the stain remains behind, that will only be a conclusive experiment if you followed the order. But if I did not follow the order, then the experiment was a waste of time. V'chein kulam, says Rashi, kaseida. And so to all of them have to be done, even if you did five of them in the correct order. So you did one, two, three, four, five, and then you did seven, and then six. That would not be a good experiment. All of them, scientifically, Chazal understood, will only work if indeed you follow the Seder 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Says Rashi in conclusion, Vahad Rav Schoira. This statement, which was authored by Rav Schoira, the Gemara calls it Rav in the name of Rav Schoira, Kavua Bahai Gemara. Why is it brought in our Gemara? Why are we busy discussing this morning on Monday morning the halachas of stains of nidus? We're not learning stains of nidus, are we learning Sanhedrin, Dalad Mises? So why is this statement of Rav Schoira mentioned over here, says Rashi? Mishum damai sinon lahani arba misois bezdin. Because it's very connected to the Mishnah that we are indeed learning about the arba misois bezdin. Arba misois bezdin again is a list. It was introduced by a number. It said arba. Kedapolig rav papa oleho. Va'omar af. Arba misois dafka nishnu hakoidem b'mishna koidemes lechaverta im nischayev shtei misois. In other words, are we to understand that our Mishnah is subject to the rule, or is it an exception to the rule? What was Rav Schoira's rule? The general rule is that the list, the order, is not significant. We so far saw one exception. What was the one exception? With regard to Dam Nidus. So what about our Mishnah? That's what Rashi is pointing out. The reason why this is being discussed over in Sanhedrin Mem Tesoma Beis is because we need to know, where does our Mishnah fit in? Is the order mentioned in our Mishnah of significance or not of significance? Rav Schoira only said there's one exception. What was the one exception? Dam Nidus. He didn't say, and there's a second exception, Arba Mises Bezdin. Rashi explains, that's why this statement is mentioned over here. It would seem to be, we'll see in a moment what Rav Papa says about this, it would seem to be that Rav Schoira, as we've mentioned many, 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 many times over the years, those who have been with us for a while, as we always point out, critical to be medayik, not only what is said, but also what is not said. So what did Rav Schoira say? Rav Schoira said a rule with an exception. But what did he not say? He did not say that our Mishnah is also an exception. All he said was the only exception that he could possibly muster up was the whole Mishnah of Dam Nidus. So, at first glance, it would seem to be that our Mishnah is not an exception. If our Mishnah is not an exception, so it follows the rule. And the rule is, therefore, that the Seder is not significant. Well, if the Seder is not significant, what does that mean? That when reading our Mishnah, we do not necessarily know which one is more chamor. Because the Seder is not significant. They're not necessarily written in order of severity. That's what it sounds like Rav Schoira is pointing out. Again, not based on what he said, based on what he did not say. He did not say that our Mishnah is an exception to the rule. However, the Gemara immediately qualifies that now. Says the Gemara, Rav Papa Saba. Mishmei de Rav, Rav Papa, in the name of Rav, says, Af Arba Misois. Arba Misois is also an exception. How do you know? Midako Maflig Reb Shimon. This we pointed out yesterday, because Reb Shimon argues. If the Mishnah tells us a list, and the Reb Shimon goes out of his way to say, no, the list is wrong, the list should be altered, what does that show? Shma mino dafka ketoni. It must be that the order of the Mishnah is jolly well dafka. If the Tanakhama never meant to express his opinion about the severity of the four Mises, so why is Reb Shimon so keen to change the list? So what do we see? If Reb Shimon went out of his way to argue and says that the list should be mentioned in a different order. What does that tell us about the Tanakhama? That the order was Dafka. And he was indeed expressing his opinion with regard to the severity of the Mises. For reasons we explained before, somebody who's chayav two Mises. And that's why Reb Shimon came in and said, no, I'm sorry, I disagree with your list. So what is Reb Papa saying? That Reb Schoira had a rule with one exception. I'm sorry to say, there's a second exception. So what does Reb Schoira hold? Does Reb Schoira really hold that our Mishnah is not an exception? Says the Gemara, v'idach b'plugta loy komairi. B'plugta loy komairi. What does that mean, b'plugta loy komairi? He's not talking about a Mishnah which brings a plugta, which brings a machloikas. So which means, therefore, there's no discussion at the end of the day. Everybody agrees that the reading of our Mishnah is dafka. Why did Rav Schoira therefore not point to our Mishnah as an exception? Because he was never talking about a Mishnah that brought two opinions. He was only talking about Mishnayos that bring one opinion. Obviously, right? Let's give a moshul. If I would say to you, please load up the fridge, put in the apples and the oranges, and you would say, no, the oranges and the apples. So obviously, if you're arguing with me, obviously it must be that the Seder is Dafka. I was saying apples and oranges, and you were disagreeing. No, it should be oranges and apples. But were you not to disagree with me, if we'd only have one opinion, and I would say, please load up the fridge, apples and oranges, is that Seder Dafka or not Dafka? So Rav Schoira is saying, the general rule is, it's not Dafka. The only exception you could find was Dam Nidus. Rav Papa pointed our Mishnah as well, said, Rav Schoira, you're right. I'm not disagreeing with you. But the reason why I did not point to our Mishnah as an exception, because I was never talking about Mishnayos that bring two opinions. Look at Rashi on the last narrow line. B'plukta loy komairi, Rav Schoira nami islay de masnisin dafka tanan. Of course, Rav Schoira agrees that our Mishnah is Dafka. No discussion. Umiu, however, ki nokit iu, when he mentions his examples, loi nokat mili de plukta. He did not mention any item which is subject to a machloikas. That's not what he was referring to. So, in the final analysis, Rabbi Yisai, do we have any discussion about how to read our Mishnah? No. Everybody agrees. That our Mishnah, there's only one way to read our Mishnah, and that is that the Seder of the Arba Mises, as mentioned in the Mishnah, is Dafka, absolutely Dafka, and there is a Machlokes in Tanakhama and Reb Shimon, indeed, as to what that Seder is. Everybody agrees that that is the correct reading of the Mishnah. So if we go back now to the original rule, what was the original rule of Rav Schoira? The rule of Rav Schoira is, again, whenever the Tanna introduces a list with a number, essentially the list, therefore, afterwards, the order of the list is Lav Dafka. Why did the Tanna mention it in a strange order? We do not know, but it's Lav Dafka. The only solitary exception that he could point to was the Mishnah we mentioned with regard to Dam Nidus. With regard to our Mishnah of Arba Mises, it's true. Everybody agrees also that our Mishnah is 100% Dafka. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara. Rav Papa Omar. Rav Papa says, I agree with your rule, and I agree with the fact that you pointed to the Dam Nidus Mishnah as an exception. I have actually found another exception. Rav Papa Omar Af Seder Yuma. What's Seder Yuma? Look at Rashi, first very wide line. Af Seder Yuma. Da'avoy das Yoyma Kippurim. The Seder, the order of the Avodah that has to be performed on Yom Kippur, Hasadurois b'Mishnah, which are laid out for us in the Mishnah b'Masechtas Yuma, Zuachazu, one after another, comma. You should know that it's Dafka Ketani. It's also da Dafka. The list is not Lav Dafka, it is very much Dafka. The Tanan, because indeed it says, Kol Maisei Yoim HaKippurim. The Mishnah says, all of the Maisei of Yom HaKippurim, all of the various activities, the various avodos carried out by the Kohen Gadol, Ho'amurim al HaSeder, which are stated in a particular order, you should know, Im Hikdim Maisei L'Chaveiroi. If you preempted one before the other, in other words, you changed the Seder, loy osa v'loy klum. Loy osa v'loy klum. What does it mean, loy osa v'loy klum? Means you've done nothing, you've just ruined the whole Yom Kippur. So what do you see? This is our second exception now. We have a list of avodos in Yom HaKippurim. The Mishnah then in Yuma, the Gemara doesn't even quote it, but the Mishnah in Yuma then tells us the Kohen Gadol has to do number one and number two and number three and number four and number five, a whole list. And the Mishnah concludes and says, and if you change that list, you've ruined the whole Avodah. So that Rabbeisai leaves us with a question. If that indeed that Mishnah is Dafka, so why did Rav Schoira indeed not point to that Mishnah as a second exception? Again, the only exception to the rule that Rav Schoira could possibly come up with was the Dam Nidus. Hasn't Rav Papa clearly demonstrated that actually we have another exception, the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, where the Mishnah clearly says that the order is absolutely Dafka? Says the Gemara, no. Ve'idach, the other opinion, meaning Rav Schoira, Ha'hu Chumra Ba'alma. So we're going to have to see this tomorrow, Mr. Shem, there's a lengthy Rashi. But Rav Schoira tells us that was only a chumrah. It's not Me'ikar HaDin. Me'ikar HaDin, essentially the halacha is that if you change the order of Yom Kippur, says Rav Schoira, it actually doesn't matter at all. It does not matter. And that's why, if you wanted to know why did I only point to the Mishnah of Dam Nidus as an exception, because that's the only exception. It says with regard to Avodas Yom HaKippurim that the order is Dafka. That's just a Chumrah. It's not Mi'ikar HaDin. What does that mean? It's a Chumrah, not Mi'ikar HaDin. So that, Be'ezus Hashem, is where we'll pick it up tomorrow in that Rashi on the second very wide line.